Hello and welcome to Super Saturdays, a comic book media podcast where each episode we will be focusing on your favorite comic books, TV shows, and movies to figure out if these projects will stand the test of time. I'm Damon A, and on today's episode, I'm joined by...
Shaya.
All right, well, without further ado, we are continuing Mutant March and discussing some more X-Men Evolution. On with the show. Shit, I am so glad to have you back on the show again. You are a friend of the show, and had such a good time last time having you on, so thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to hear a friend of the show and not like the opposite, so that's good to hear. But yeah, had a lovely time with you too last time, and can't wait to get into this episode.
Okay, cool. And, you know, Supes, in case you didn't see our other episode, Shaya sat down with us last year to talk about episode one of X-Men Evolution. And for this episode, we're doing episode 2 of season 3. And this time, I didn't choose the episode. Shaya chose the episode. So we'll get into, like, asking questions about this later on. But Shaya, for those who probably didn't watch the other episode, or for those who don't know you, tell the viewers about yourself a little bit.
Sure. So I'm Shaya, and I'm an artist and illustrator. I work full-time as an artist and illustrator. Mostly freelance at this time, so I've just been doing lots of like random little work on the side, and also doing lots of like X-Men fan art, as I'm sure like you've seen, Damon. And primarily, like recent few months, I've been doing a lot of like X-Men Evolution fan art still as well, which is very appropriate for this episode. So, yeah, glad to be here, and that's kind of a summary of what I do.
Shay's art is amazing. I'm going to put this in post all over here as he's talking. Gorgeous, amazing art, especially your redesign of Emma Frost and even your redesign of Storm recently. Because if I'm not mistaken, last time you were on the show, we were actually talking about this, about how you were like thinking about doing that and everything. So I'm glad that you actually went ahead and did it.
Yeah. I mean, our discussion also like motivated me to do it even more. When we were talking about what it would have been like, how she would have been like, and just... like the dynamic between her and the other students at the time. So yeah, thank you again for that. I got a lot of love for that, and I'm still getting a lot of love for that. So
it's all deserved. Yeah. It is all deserved. And on top of that, let me stroke my ego a little bit. Glad to inspire. I'm kidding, not fully, but like, there we go. So as we get into this episode, are you ready for some news roundup?
Sure, let's go for it.
So, on this news roundup, we're going to be talking a little bit about X-Men 97. So, previously, Supes, we had an episode crossover with DMV Comic Book Nerds, starting number one on theirs, and then episode 2 on our show. And so, we talked about our thoughts and everything, but the reason I'm bringing it up is, Shaya, what was your like first thoughts about the two episodes of X-Men 97? I saw you on Twitter, you were posting a little bit about it.
Yeah, I woke up like... very early in the morning to watch it when it came out, and I loved it. Honestly, I did. I was a bit apprehensive going in, just because, you know, when you want to see something or like another version of something you actually love, it's a very nervous feeling, and there's a whole season of it that's going to air, so are you going to just be bearing with it while it airs? But no, to the contrary, it was really good. I loved how things were pulled from like the earlier seasons of the show, X-Men, the animated series. And yeah, the new things that they included to the fight scenes especially, I think that's kind of took it over the edge of, you know, other previous animated shows, just how like, you know, fluid and how fun the fight scenes were. And also like inventive and innovative, how they use some of their powers. And yeah, no, it was really cool. I listened to the first podcast for the episode you did for 97 and a bit of the second one. So I know you liked it too, but yeah, okay. How did you feel?
Okay. I'm glad that you liked it. And going back to what you were saying about the fight scenes, I loved the fight scenes. Like, one of the thoughts that I brought up in that episode previously was how, like, it was very anime-esque with the way that mm-hmm. it was just staged, and it was just so fluid. One of the things that I'd say, not really a negative, okay, maybe a little bit, was the action in the 90, like the 90s X-Men show. Because recently, Supes, if you guys follow the show, you know that I've had like a little like weird kind of situation with that show. But I like the show a lot now after, you know, I've reformed, I'm reborn. But one of the things was that the action was a little questionable. The action that was in the show, it was a little like stiff, stilted. And it would be more like a push and maybe a punch or two and just like wrestling a little bit. But this, no, they didn't come to play. They were like kicking ass, taking names, and then cool moments. Everyone had a cool moment. Cyclops, amazing. Storm is that girl still. So honestly, check out X-Men 97.
Yeah, no, completely. Exactly what you said. I mean, it also has to do with like the time. This is 2024. That was done in the 90s. So you can imagine with all of the time that has passed, hopefully they'll have done something good with it. And yeah, they did.
Exactly.
Also, it has been so long, like since a proper X-Men animated show. So
yeah,
it's out.
I want to say the last one was like the X-Men anime, I want to say. Like, it was.
Oh, I don't really count that in my mind for some reason, but yes. I don't know why it just. It's not like I hate it. I mean, I would watch anything that's X-Men any day, but I just never remember it for some reason.
I forget about it too. I really do. But like, I want to say it's maybe because the designs look like a mixture of Astonishing X-Men, but like with the movies as well too. Because Storm looks kind of like Halle Berry in that show. she does. She got like the little, like, you know, the little like choppy bob.
The feathered hairstyle.
Exactly. And yeah, it just kind of was like that. But I heard some people say that it actually wasn't that bad. They said of the whole Marvel anime lineup that came out at that time, it was actually pretty decent compared to the other ones. But
yeah, like, it wasn't awful.
You watched it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Well, like I said, I would watch anything X-Men released like immediately it's out. So I did. It was kind of slow in pace in places like during the entire show. But it felt, I think why it skipped my mind, because it feels more like an anime than an X-Men show, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So it has very like anime vibes. So I will think of it like as an anime on its own that's just like stole from X-Men and, you know, like all these superhero shows based off of like Justice League and things like that. I would put it in that category over an X-Men show.
I could see that. I'd say like the last proper X-Men animated series was like Wolverine and the X-Men, I think.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
You know something? I did not watch it fully. I did not watch it fully. And, like, I'm planning on watching it at some point, but I know that there's a couple episodes I liked. I liked the Nightcrawler episode a lot from that show.
I can't remember that, but I'm pretty sure if you liked it, then it was good.
Okay. Next question for News Roundup. Next part of News Roundup. We have information about the post-Krakoa era of X-Men. So, I want to know your thoughts. I'm a little excited to see that Gail Simone is working on there. Because I like Gail Simone as a writer.
Yeah.
And I haven't been keeping up with the Krakoa era. But for this past month, I've been like doing a lot of different X-Men reading. So, as someone who has read a little bit more X-Men than me compared to as of late, what was your thoughts on hearing about this new lineup that they're going to be working on?
I'm kind of someone who likes to wait until I see something before I make my judgment on it. Case in point, X-Men 97. Before it came out, I had lots of like apprehension, but I kept myself from thinking too much about it until I actually saw it. So that's kind of what I'm doing now with the new lineup. Well, like you said, I've been following this current like Krakoa era, like pretty much everything except for like some Wolverine comics, because I've seen more than one Wolverine comic for my lifetime. But for the other ones, yeah, I think Krakoa was the first time I properly like followed a comic book line through like so many years, and I'm obviously very sad that it's ending, but I think because it started off with the premise that it might probably end and not like end well for the mutants in Krakoa, I kind of was expecting it, but was that situation where I knew it was coming, but I was hoping it wasn't. So that's why I'm sad because, it's happening, even though it kind of had been alluded to. But it was just a very, I think, very special time for like the X-Men. All of the themes that the X-Men have gone through, the whole being discriminated against, being like, just being like the underdog in every situation that they found themselves in. It was very refreshing to see them like have like a position of power and be on their own and like have their own island and have like that political power to like even threaten other countries and go live with it and not have anything happen to them until people started retaliating and the humans kind of got the best of the X-Men. And yeah, there's some other little things that caused the end of it, but to answer your question properly, the new X-Men lineup, I'm interested to see how it goes. I'm just going to save too much of my judgment and opinions on it until it actually happens, and we'll hopefully be impressed by it.
Okay. Out of all the books I was like announced, was there one that you're like really excited about though?
I think I'm interested to see Exceptional X-Men. I don't think that title has ever been used before. I'm not sure, but if Emma is leading it, and I think is that the one Gail is writing?
I think Gail is writing this the regular X-Men title. No, I think she's writing Uncanny. She's writing Uncanny, and then I
Okay.
think Exceptional is, I know Exceptional might be drawn by Ryan Stegman, but I forgot who the writer was.
Right. I know the regular X-Men is by Jed MacKay, I think.
Oh, okay.
I probably should know this, but I think Exceptional is something I'm looking forward to. And I think the classic like X-Men line has Oya in it, which is this Nigerian mutant that I'm very, I'm kind of hyper fixating on the past few months. Unfortunately, they changed her name to Tampa, which
I don't
is
like that.
crazy. It is just ridiculous. But
I don't like that name. Something about that name. I temper?
yeah. Like, it shouldn't even have left someone's thoughts for 10 seconds before getting shut down. If you know what I mean, like, if you're in a room, like a writer's room, and they just, like, not me, somebody else, throws that out, I feel like within 10 seconds it should have been shut down. So for it to get go all the way to be, her official name, it's very strange to me.
That's suspicious.
I have thoughts. I think a lot of those thoughts speak for themselves. Black Nigerian character. Well, no, Black Nigerian woman. That's character. Temper. I'm not here for it. I'm not here for it. But like you were saying, though, I kind of am in the camp of like, I'm just curious. I'm waiting to see what's going to be happening and what's going to unfold. And some of the team members that are on the different teams was kind of interesting to me. I will say I'm kind of excited for Storm's ongoing title. I don't know if they
Oh yeah,
announced who's writing
true.
it yet, though.
No, they haven't. I mean, of course, that also has its controversy going on with people fearing like the Mohawk is coming back from like the little snippets we've been seeing, the straight, like relaxed Mohawk.
Oh, God. No.
I don't think we've seen anything like super official regarding that. So again, holding off until, something actually comes out, and then,
And the
we
basic
can
business
go
suit.
in
The basic
the basic
business.
business suit. Yes. Yeah, it's just such an odd choice. Like, again, well, we'll see. But are those the ones you're excited for, the Storm
Yeah, those are the ones I'm
line?
excited for.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So my question for you is, why did you choose this episode? Because I brought up earlier that originally we were going to do a different one, but then I was like, you know what? What's one that you liked a lot? So why did you choose this episode?
Yeah, I mean, when he asked me that, I was a bit not unsure what to choose. So I did like a little binge of some of my favorite ones I've seen. And there were a lot that I could have chosen from, but I think this one has a very like special place in my, mind because I mentioned this. I think I mentioned this the last time I was here, but there was a period where in Nigeria they were only showing like the first two seasons of X-Men Evolution, and those were just what I was limited to. I couldn't see anything even while they were airing the newer seasons elsewhere. So when my mom and I went like on vacation to the UK, and I was just in my cousin's house, and I turned on TV, and that particular episode came on, and yeah, it just like stuck with me, and something that I will think about anytime I think of the X-Men Evolution and the newer seasons especially. So just like, you can imagine your favorite show not knowing what's going to happen, and the first time you see a new episode, the excitement and everything is there. But even just that aside, I think there were so many elements in this episode that are very like quintessential like X-Men things. Like, if you were following X-Men Evolution up until this point, that they just got outsiders, mutants to the world. Something happened at the end of the season finale of season two, and they just got outed. So yeah, that constant theme of the X-Men where they're being, judged by everyone, and there's like anti-mutant things going on around them, and they're just trying to find a way to get back. They're also separated away from each other. Because of the news came out, the younger students had to go back to their parents' houses. And yeah, so there's just a very like just lots of tension going around. And so how they deal with that, especially with Professor X not being around and Cyclops like manning the team, and finding, ways to go around things like that, just, solidified it as one of those like episodes that I love to watch. And yeah, I think also a friend of, well, not a friend, but a Twitter mutual also covered this episode on his podcast a while ago, and listening to him talk about it too made me love it even more. So I think those are my reasons. Had you watched it before?
Surprisingly enough, I don't remember watching this one because I think I'm not sure if I talked about this in the last episode that we did for Evolution, but I have a strong connection to the first two seasons, primarily the first
I
one.
see.
Yeah, because I remember seeing the first one and the second one on TV a lot, whenever there'd be reruns. I remember Disney XD had played a lot of the Marvel stuff on there, and when they got Evolution, they played a lot of the early stuff. And I remember on Marvel.com, they were releasing like free episodes of different things. And I think the first season of Evolution was on there for free. And so like I remember like just like that's all I remember. And ever really watched. The last couple of seasons, I don't really have much memory about. I do know about I did see the episode X-23. And I also watched, I want to say that might just be it. I've seen clips, all the other type of stuff, but like, yeah, those last two seasons are kind of like a blur. I don't really remember if I've seen any that much of it. But watching this for the first time, it was very fun. It was, well, not really fun, but it was a good show. It was a good episode. And I don't know, but we'll get into our opinions. I know on our last episode of Evolution, you talked a little about your favorite character within Evolution. It was Jean. So my question is, do you have any other secondary characters, or maybe within this season, what was the favorite character of yours in this season?
In this season, I'm thinking the thing is, I would love to say Storm, but she doesn't really get that many moments in the show. But when she's there, always very into her. I think probably the next person after Jean might be either Spike or Rogue, because they both had like very like tumultuous times during the season. Later on in the season, Spike was not able to control his powers as much as he used to, and he couldn't like retract his spikes anymore and became more of a visible mutant than the rest of them were, and didn't really feel
He
like he
moved with the
belonged
Morlocks,
there.
didn't he?
Yeah, he moved in with the
Yeah.
Morlocks, and yeah, he didn't really feel like he belonged with be with the other mutants at the X Mansion anymore. And it was just very interesting to see that change go on, and why, even within an oppressed group, there's always going to be more oppressed people in that group. So it was very interesting to see that and see how the show handled that. I'm not really sure if they handled it that well. I can't remember for sure, but just the theme of that, I kind of like it. And Rogue too also had issues with her powers. I feel like in other shows they've shown this, but when she absorbs people's powers or memories or abilities, they kind of stick with her. Or at least the memories of the people she holds or she absorbs. And, having all of that backed up in your head, it kind of messes with you or messes with her. And so she just had a lot of trouble going on with that. And Goth Rogue is very fun in general. So, yeah, I think that those are the two characters that I think I liked more this season.
Okay. I know, like, I think there are some people who didn't really care for Goth Rogue, but I remember always liking Goth Rogue in this show. Especially that opening scene, 'cause like the opening scene of this episode just had me like, "Okay, damn." But before I get ahead of myself, are you ready to dive in to the meat and potatoes of this episode?
Definitely, let's go.
Here's the summary. While Storm and Beast step in front of the Senate to try curbing the rampant anti-mutant crowd, the rest of the X-Men have to stop Juggernaut, who has been unleashed by Mystique and is threatening to destroy a dam. That was a pretty decent summary. I feel like you should have mentioned what the other X-Men are doing, but hey, that's what that is. So, okay, we talked like kind of a little bit about our first impressions of this episode. Sitting down to rewatch this episode, what was your like thoughts? Any new thoughts, any impressions that you got while watching this new this episode again?
I think the main thought was these episodes are really short. Was my main thought about going through all of these episodes and seeing which one I liked more. They're actually really short and they have to pack quite a lot of stuff in it. And that was my main thought. I don't know if that is something you're expecting. But another one I had was it was very funny seeing Wolverine ditch the students and go on his way because maybe he felt embarrassed by how Cyclops was handling things, according to how the professor would have wanted, and he just dipped and went away. But it was fun that he came back. And I think what also I noticed was how interesting that they all work together on a dam fighting juggernauts. It just seemed like a very crazy fight, like environment for them to be doing all of that, very dangerous. And also, juggernaut's voice was deep. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really deep. No, you know something? Speaking of Juggernaut, because since you brought it up, in my notes I wrote, I was like, Juggernaut, this is like the slimmest I've seen Juggernaut. Because like Juggernaut,
Really?
yeah, like because in the comics and even in other stuff, he's like really like gigantic, like almost as big as the Hulk. And right now in the show, he's kind of like a rectangle. Like his shape is like a rectangle, and he's like very slender, kind of. And I was like, okay, all right. And I just liked how streamlined his design is, because I forgot that Juggernaut appeared in the show at some point previously. And just,
I think that might also have to do with the style of the show too,
yeah.
because they're kind of skinny, all of them, and are kind of like stylized skinny, because they have like Cyclops, for example, has like a heavy or like a broad, like shoulder and top, and his waist is this tiny, so that kind of probably just the style of the character designer kind of went on to someone who was supposed to be a lot more muscular. But yeah, you're gonna say something.
Yeah, I was gonna say, no, just my first impressions of this episode, since this is the first time I'm up to my knowledge, I'm watching it. It was good. It was a really good episode, and it was actually interesting just seeing a lot of just the how the Senate was, and then how a lot of them, like how they were hunted down. Some of it was just giving a little too real about the stuff that's happening in America. And it was fun. It was a fun episode, I'd say. Especially the fight at the end, and it was good seeing them like use their powers and work together. And I gotta say, That new opening theme song, like with the extra guitar riff, I was like, oh. And then they add a little bit more into it, like a little bit more flavor. You know what? I fuck with
it
that
was
new
cool.
theme. I fuck with that new theme song. I do.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same.
Because they
just
added
edited.
More characters to, like, Beast. I think Beast is there and somebody else might be, I'm not sure. But yeah, it was like expansive. And like you said, music was really cool too.
It really was. And speaking of which, I was actually liking how the New Mutants were actually added into the credits too. They didn't have like title cards, but like,
they
had like, you know, a couple of the clips in there. Which prior to this watching this episode, I ended up watching one of the little bit of season two again. And I was just watching back some of the New Mutant stuff and everything. And I was like, you know, I kind of would have wanted to see an animated series based on New Mutants. I would have.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're alone in that. I feel like that's the thing with the X-Men. There's just so much that you could pull out from the X-Men stories and so many teams. So many people that are not like the main, you know, mutants that are pretty much known for like the X-Men. So there's just so much that you could use from it. But, you know, I think when people have to create the shows, they always want to think of how profitable or how recognizable people in the show will be. So they kind of keep using the same cast of characters. But yeah, a New Mutants show, I think maybe because of the movie that came out, that might not be something that might be revisited anytime soon.
I feel like possibly, potentially, I don't know. The thing, you know, okay, this is going to be a tangent, but like, I didn't watch the New Mutants movie, but I liked the cast. The casting was decent, except for Sunspot. Sunspot should have been somebody else. But Anya Taylor-Joy is Magic. That's pretty cool.
It might never happen again.
It will. It never will.
I think she's gone way too like ahead of being coming back to a New Mutants show. Unless it was like a really good, like really high budget thing, I don't think she might ever come back.
Yeah, which is a shame. But hey, I guess. All right, let's start talking a little bit more about this episode. Okay, so you touched on Wolverine a little bit. The part that really got me was at the beginning of this episode where Wolverine was just like, because basically it showed mutant newscaster on the screen, and he was talking about how mutants were just like, they can look normal. Some can look normal. Some can look like, you know, different. And Rogue like starts yelling. She was like, "I look fat. Am I that? Like, do I look fat?" And Wolverine. Yeah. Okay, this is the part that really gets me. Actually, I laughed audibly. Laughed. Wolverine said, "Quiet, we're trying to keep a low profile." He says this while messing with his hat, making it obvious, and he's wearing like a biker cowboy outfit. And I'm like,
yeah.
Wolverine, Logan, stop.
It has to be like fashionable.
100%. If you're on the run. If you're on the run, you got to just like make sure you look good. Make sure everything matching. Make sure it's like, you know, get yourself a little trench coat too, because him and Rogue's wearing a trench coat.
It's just crazy, but I love it for them.
100%. And like my notes are kind of, I didn't really put too many notes for this episode because one of this would be more like a discussion, just jumping around the place and everything. But a little later in the episode is when we have the other B plot of the story where like Storm and Beast are going to the Senate. Storm ate that up when she opened the door, when she was walking through with Beast on the side of her. They was walking down. I was like, oh shit, let's fuck some shit up.
Exactly.
It wasn't the moment I thought it was going to be, but you know what? She opened that door. She opened that door.
There was drama. You know, you have to have drama in these situations. Might not be followed through, but at least the thought was there.
Exactly. The thought was there. The thought was there. The attention to detail was there. And, you know, basically the U.S. was just kind of gaslighting Storm and Beast at the hearings by trying to flip everything back with the mutants and how the Sentinels and all other type of stuff. And the entire time I was watching that, I was like, you know, I feel like that would happen if this was real life. On some real shit.
Definitely.
Yeah, which is just like, I don't know. No. Something about that, which is very interesting. So earlier when we hopped on here, I said I had a thought about this episode. And
yes.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I'm
There
so
was a
scared.
point in the episode where they're fighting Juggernaut, and my brain was like, "Why does this look like a meme I've seen?" And it's the part where Juggernaut is like, "I'm raw power," and then
Oh my God. Okay, continue, continue.
Cyclops was like, wait, what did he
Yeah, I
say?
wrote that down. I wrote that down. He
Listen,
says,
take it raw.
I'm raw power!
Yeah? You want a raw tough guy? Then take it raw!
He says, no, he says, full quote, you want it raw tough guy? Then take it raw. I was like, stop it.
Foreshadowing to Krakoa?
I mean,
I mean,
maybe that's why Wolverine didn't come along.
yeah, he probably was mad. Oh my God. My brain literally did flip the switches when it was happening. I was like, wait, I seen this before. And then that happened, and I was like, okay, so no one in the writer's room was like, but m
I
maybe.
think, I honestly, I think someone probably thought it sounded like really, oh, that might have been the intention. Who knows? I feel like a lot of these like older cartoons definitely have like a lot of like sexual subtext in them, and as long as it kind of makes sense in the scene, why not do it? Why not like throw that in and laugh at it in secret, even though that's kind of twisted to be honest, for a children's show.
A little bit, a little bit. Or maybe they just thought it was just badass to hear Scott say, take it
Take it
raw.
raw.
I guess. I don't know.
But do you know, even after all of the raw energy that Scott was giving Juggernaut, Juggernaut took it. Juggernaut
He
took
did took
it
it
and
raw. He
held
took it
his
raw.
face. It's not his first time.
Juggernaut is not new to this. He's used to this. Is
Do
he?
you know Juggernaut's lore actually, that Juggernaut is probably in a relationship with a guy in X-Men?
Yeah, is it Black Tom Cassidy?
Again, not his first time, so not his first time.
Oh my God. Okay, so like this episode was pretty short. I think when we watched the first episode, it felt like there was a lot more. Like there was still a lot of story in there, but then the first episode felt like it was a lot of just exposition that was given to us. In this episode, it was just more like the X-Men are on the run. We need to find a way to like bring it back to the status quo, so that way we can like not entirely the status quo, but just bring it back to an easy place, so we can like progress this season further. And I think it did a really good job in doing that. I did. I think so. I think so.
Okay, no, I was just gonna say I agree, because the next few episodes also still showed that there was a definite change, because they had to go back to school and they had been outed as mutants, and they faced a lot of like pushback from students, from people around, and they just had to deal with it. So they weren't criminalized, but they weren't like accepted either. And I think that's where the episode was trying to push them to. So yeah, I agree with what you said, to kind of move the story along, and they brought a good bad guy to kind of say that, I mean, serve as the opposition to, so the regular humans would be like, okay, they're the good guys, they're bad guys in the mutant like whole species. Yeah, definitely was a useful episode for that.
Exactly. I think it was really good seeing, because you touched on this a little bit ago about how like seeing them working together and everything. I think that was honestly the crown jewel of this episode, because like seeing a lot of them grow with their powers and learning how to use them, and Kitty and Nightcrawler being the best of buds, and even seeing Iceman there doing his thing. The sound effects were a little dated, but it was pretty cool. And then seeing Jean, which I have in my notes, when they were on the run and they were running away from other helicopters, and Jean was like, step aside, let me use my powers. And she like had the helicopters like fall down, and then she bent the propellers
Bent
into a
the rope.
heart. Like, that's dope. I remember in the first couple of episodes in season one, like she wasn't on the same level as the 90s Jean, but like there's moments where it was like, Jean, you could have did a little bit more here.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I completely noticed that too. And even later on in the episode where she stop the dam from like pouring out and kind of raised all the water back so that Iceland could freeze the water that was pouring out of the dam. Also, like a huge feat, you know. I'm pretty sure in season one, she'd be struggling with a glass of water to take it to the to the other side of the room. So it was really cool to see. That being said, because again, I did go on a binge, like I was going through episodes I wanted to see was like my favorite. They kind of vary her ability a lot, like even further down the season. Sometimes she's struggling to carry something. Sometimes she's throwing police cars, like just like a flick of her wrist. So it was very interesting to see how whoever was writing the episode kind of shifted her powers to adjust with what was needed for her. There was one episode in particular, and I'm going away from this episode, but there was one episode in particular where she was being mind controlled by somebody else. And she was like carrying out the person's like, you know, missions and stuff. And she was like really, you know, doing a lot of stuff. Like she was mind wiping people. She was throwing people out. It was really cool. And she kept on throwing Cyclops around the entire episode. Every time he tried to stop her, he was screaming, Jean, stop. So that was really funny. But yeah, it's always funny when like really strong characters like Storm, for example, have to be kind of reduced a little just to fit the episode. Because if you have a Storm, you technically don't need a lot of the other mutants to do anything. She could just clear everyone out, you know, very quickly. So it's something that's interesting to see from a writer's perspective.
I think like a lot of times, I notice that for me when it comes down to like shows or even just even sometimes reading comics, there's moments where I could buy when a character's like ability is reduced, but it has to be like a good way for me to like be like, okay, I can buy this. But if it's just inconsistency, it kind of makes me just be like, okay, come on now. You guys can just ignore, like, I guess.
Yeah.
So with Jean having that up and down, I get why they do it. Cause yeah, she probably would be able to just do everything. Cause I'm thinking about how in this episode, my first thought was, why couldn't Jean hop into Juggernaut's mind when they took off his helmet?
Yeah, I think apparently they needed Cerebro to do it, and maybe she hadn't, you know, been comfortable enough to use Cerebro, or maybe Cerebro is not really mobile in this show. I can't remember. So they should probably have to go back to the X-Mansion to do that. So I think that was the reason why. But yeah, she should have been able to do it since, like I mentioned, in a previous or an episode further down in the season, she was able to shut Cyclops down and he just went to sleep. So yeah, can be inconsistent sometimes.
So toward the end of this episode, they find where Professor X, because throughout this episode, Professor X was gone. He was taken. Mystique hit him someplace. And speaking of which, when they did the previously on X-Men Evolution, I was like, what the fuck is happening? All this shit was just coming on. I was like, okay. But he was gone. So when they find him after Rogue takes Juggernaut's powers and they defeat him, and she says she knows where he's at, my first thought is that, like, wow, Charles, you are really floating in this embiotic fluid with a turtleneck, blazer, jeans. Not the cashmere. Not he messed up the cashmere. Not he messed up the cashmere sweater.
To be fair, that was Mystique, and she probably did that intentionally. But yeah, that was something. I was like, is it because of the children's show, he's fully clothed? Because, you know, you would expect him to be, you know, free-balling in that kind of situation. But yeah, it was definitely an odd thing to see.
I bet Mystique was like, I don't want to see none of that shit. So you're going in there fully clothed, Charles.
Exactly. She probably put on a really nice shirt for him even and said, okay, I'm going to mess this up for you.
No, imagine when she took him, he just was like in some pajamas and she was like, you know what? Nah, I'm going to take your expensive clothes.
Exactly.
Put that on you.
Probably and then put like three over him anyway. Yeah. To make it even worse.
Or no, she then grabs like some like jewelry. Yeah, this is gonna tarnish in there. I hope it tarnishes and rusts.
Exactly. I miss Mystique.
I love Mystique. In all honesty, I'm very surprised that you know, I got a question for you. Since we're talking about X-Men, we were talking about X-Men animated series is plural previously. If you could choose one X-Men character to get their own show, or maybe even like a mini series, an animated show or mini series. Who would you choose and why?
Like, the obvious one is Storm. I think it's just kind of a given because she's kind of like larger than the X-Men in a way where she can, I feel like she can operate on her own. The ties she has with the rest of the X-Men can be explored in the show, and they didn't necessarily have to be there for her story to like make sense. Like, she's not fully attached to one person. Like, Jean always has Scott, or you know, a lot of the others have like formative relationships with the other people, but you know, she has her own backstory, where she came from. Oh my god, I'm blanking. She came from Kenya, I think. And
yep, she,
you know,
did.
That could be explored. And she could also, now that in the comics she's like the ruler of Mars, that could be explored too in a show, and just like see how that dynamic works, how she's handling all of that. I feel like there's just so much, you know, she was a thief in the past. There's like a whole like journey she's been on. I'm not discounting other people's journeys. It's just, I feel, again, she's one of the most recognizable person in the X-Men. So I don't think they'll have any trouble with the marketing for that, for Storm. Yeah, that would be my answer. How about you?
Hold on 1 second. I got to put the charger in.
For sure.
Because this laptop will die. Because my laptop is a piece of shit, for being honest. Okay. Honestly, I would say I'd have to agree Storm would be my top choice. Now, okay. I was going to say Wolverine as well, but then we already seen a lot of Wolverine.
No, we've seen, how many movies has he had? Even the X-Men movies were kind of Wolverine movies too at some point.
And like basically so were. It was like Wolverine and Friends.
Yeah.
Except for like the trilogy, like the other trilogy, but like that then became more just Professor X and Magneto movies. But
yeah, but he still came back for Days of Future Past.
Oh yeah, he did.
Yeah, so he was still in there.
Yeah,
and he had his own like solo like Logan movie, so I think it's good.
True, and Wolverine also got his own anime before, so.
Yeah, he's literally had a Wolverine in the X-Men animated series. I feel like we've been oversaturated like a decade ago.
True.
I think we're good.
True. The reason why part of me was thinking of also maybe Wolverine just slightly was because I think it would be cool to see like a stylized adaption Frank Miller, you know, the whole Japanese, the Japan thing that happened. That'd be cool, but I don't need it per se. I feel like I'd like it if it came out, but I wouldn't need it. Storm, would love to see. I would love to see a Cyclops miniseries, though. That'd be pretty cool. I wouldn't be against Jean Grey, though, too.
I wouldn't be, but I feel like Cyclops' entire story is about the X-Men. He's the leader of the X-Men. So if he's there, what's he going to be doing aside from leading the X-Men? Does that make sense? Like, that's just kind of his passion, I guess. Even till now, like current comics, even the new lineup, he looks like front and center. So I feel like if he's going to have his own solo show, I'm not sure, but I'm not like the biggest like reader on Cyclops, so maybe he's had some things that he could do on his own. But I just feel like it's very intrinsic in that whole X-Men situation.
Okay, I could see that too. I feel like it'd be great to just see some showcases of different mutants.
Yeah.
Or what if we just did something where it's like a short or something like that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel, do it. Just do it. Feel like it'd be great. I'd love to see more Storm. I'd love to see just more different mutants get the spotlight. Hell, I would love to see a new mutant series. But like we said, that movie probably killed all thoughts of that. all right. I know we're playing just what ifs at this moment. So let's get back to this episode here. So Shea, what would be your final thoughts and your rating for this? And do you think it'd stand the test of time if you were to show this to somebody?
Okay. Final thoughts on this is good episode. Very quintessential, speaking, very quintessential X-Men story. And I would definitely recommend it to people. And my rating will be, I don't know, I feel like I'm so partial. I can't give it anything less than a 5 because I feel like if it's out of 5, I'll give it a 5. I don't think there's anything specific that would detract it from me. I could say the action scenes could be a bit better in the future, but I feel for the scale of the show at the moment, I feel like it's fine because they're all teenagers. They shouldn't be doing like extremely crazy stuff. And it kind of fits as the time period they're in. So yeah, I just feel like everything, how it was done was like very, very, very well written and very concise. And yeah, I definitely think it will stand the test of time.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. How about you? You can be honest.
Okay. Soups, I really like this episode a lot, and I think this episode would do better if you were to pair it with the first episode of this season. I think it kind of gives like a 2-for-1 type of thing. I think sometimes some episodes you gotta like get a little bit more context. So I would say, as a whole, I think the series stands the test of time. I think the series is a good introduction for people wondering who the X-Men are.
Yeah.
But this episode in particular, I would say there were some spots where it was a little bit dated. Oh, this is a really good question. I would give this 3.5 or 4. And I do think, if given more context, if you watch the first 2 episodes, this would stand the test of time.
Yeah. I mean, the previously on was, I feel, explanatory enough, but that might just be me being biased because I had watched the previous episodes, which makes sense. And also, it was coming up of a like huge season finale of the previous season. So, definitely makes a lot of sense. But I think I was coming from it, even especially with the new line that's coming in with the comics, that, you know, the mutants are kind of like fragmented, they're kind of like back down to basics. It kind of matches that Storm and Beast are being like political, like advocates for themselves. And I think Storm is going to be something like that in the new line. So it just kind of matched. It just was like the start or like a very relatable point for any X-Men like franchise thing that it could do. Just X-Men trying to fight for themselves and trying to establish that they're not, you know, a threat to anyone.
Okay, I can see. Yeah. Yeah. I think that after hearing what you just said, I'm thinking about my whole rating on this. And I'm even thinking about back to the previously on.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that this is an episode that if a person has like a general idea of who the X-Men are, you can throw this on and they'd be like, yo, this is a great X-Men story. Great. Okay, so I'll give it a 4.5. I will give it a 4.5. I will say this stands the test of time. This stands the test of time. I do think more context is necessary, though, but
definitely
stands the test of time. But as always, Soups, before we go, thank you for hopping on, Shea.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. But you heard it here first. You heard our thoughts. So I want to hear yours. Be sure to let us know on Instagram at Super Saturdays Podcast, TikTok at Super Saturdays Pod, and Twitter at Super Saturday PC. All your messages and reviews can make their way on the show. This was Super Saturdays. I'm Damon.
And I'm Shea.
And where can the people find you, Shea?
You can find me at Shea_art. I think pretty much everywhere. That's SEYE_art. I think my TikTok has something different, but that's kind of not really used by me, so you can skip that. So Twitter and Instagram definitely can find me there. Also, my website too, if you're interested. I think that's ShayaArts.com. _
And go ahead and buy a print, because Shay's art is amazing. Like, amazing. So, as always, Soups, see you next Saturday.
Hi, thank you.